Hi, I'm Rowan Molyneux and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. This week we'll be taking a look at the folklore of screaming skulls, legends about which have been collected all over England. Today's episode of Oddity is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh helps solve the what's for dinner debate by delivering delicious, fuss-free recipes with the exact pre-portioned, fresh ingredients you need to cook them from scratch. Whether you're a meat lover or a vegetarian, busy parent or aspiring cook, HelloFresh have recipes for every taste. Just pick a box that works for you and choose exciting new recipes to cook every week. HelloFresh source all of the ingredients you need and deliver them pre-measured in an insulated box that will keep them fresh if you're not in. The step-by-step recipe cards will help you create a huge range of delicious dishes from around the world. With brand new preferences added to the classic box, gluten-free, dairy-free and vegetarian, you can enjoy choice from a menu that suits everybody's tastes. So if you're pescatarian, flexitarian or just looking to change things up, HelloFresh have something for you. All of the recipes are created, tested and reworked by a professionally trained team of in-house chefs, so deliciousness is a guarantee, and all of the ingredients they send are pre-measured, so there's absolutely zero food waste. There are also family-friendly recipes which have been created with busy families in mind, taking the hassle out of meal planning, prep and cooking, so that you spend less time planning meals and more time enjoying them. You can skip, pause or cancel your subscription at any time. Try HelloFresh with 50% off your first two boxes with the promo code ODDITY. HelloFresh. Fuss-free, fresh food delivered straight to your door and prepared by you. A screaming skull is a human skull which, according to legend, disturbs the house in which it's kept by screaming, speaking, or causing other disturbances. In the case of a few of these skulls, they are the focus of hauntings which stop when the skull is laid to rest. But in the majority of stories, the act of removing the skull from inside the house is what sparks off the trouble. When moved from their resting place, some are said to cause strange noises and screams to echo down the halls at night. While some have been reported to have caused illness, spontaneous fires, accidents, and even deaths. Once they're returned to their rightful spot within the house, however, peace is resumed. It seems that these skulls have an almost protective, talismanic nature. This can be seen as somewhat unusual, as common haunting narratives often occur the other way round. The discovery of bones or other items belonging to a restless soul causing havoc within a house until they are laid to rest in an appropriate manner. One example of this more classic haunting narrative is related to the skull of the murderer William Corder. Corder murdered his lover Maria in 1827, after luring her out to a nearby barn to meet him, under the pretense of wanting to elope with her to Ipswich. After the woman's disappearance, Maria's stepmother began to have dreams that Maria had been murdered and buried in the barn, and eventually persuaded Maria's father to look for her there. Maria's body was quickly discovered, and William Corder's fate was sealed. He was hanged and then dissected, and his skin was treated by a local tanner before being used to bind a written account of the murder. His skeleton was reassembled and kept in a museum for a while until, according to legend, a local collector obtained the murderer's skull in order to add it to his collection, replacing it with another, so as not to arouse suspicion. But Corder's skull brought the collector nothing but trouble. Terrible sounds and spectral figures were said to have appeared around it, and it was eventually taken to be buried in an unknown graveyard in the countryside in an attempt to break the curse. A somewhat more recent tale of ghostly apparitions appearing alongside a skull dates from the 1970s. At Ripley's Auditorium in Blackpool, so the story goes, there was for a short time a skull that had belonged to a 16th century local girl. The owner of the skull, who had loaned it to Ripley's on a temporary basis, claimed that it had brought him a run of bad luck and caused his home to be haunted. While it was on display at the auditorium, people are said to have seen a ghostly girl dressed all in black standing next to it. Its time at Ripley's came to an end, and it was returned to its owner, one Mr. Boardman, but the hauntings came to be too much for him, and he ended up entrusting it to a local priest. 2 weeks later, Mr. Boardman was found dead, apparently having died in his sleep. At At the Pack Horse Inn in Bury, they have a resident skull. Local legend holds that it's the skull of the man who executed the Earl of Derby in the 17th century. In classic screaming skull fashion, it's said to scream if removed from the pub. Over the years, the landlords have kept with tradition and decided not to move the skull from the bar area, even as recently as 2013 when the pub was extensively refurbished by Hyde's Brewery. As of 2017, it resides in a glass cabinet near the bar. Betterscombe Manor in Dorset is reportedly home to the skull of a man once kept there as a slave. A subsequent owner, taking a dislike to the skull, once threw it in a pond. After 2 days of being kept awake at night by a supernatural racket, he went and fished the skull out of the pond, returning it to its original resting place inside the manor. Of course, the screaming stopped straight away. It holds a high status in the manor. As the Victorian legend goes, it brings good luck, and while this skull is kept, no ghost will ever invade Betterscombe. At Dunscar Farm near Castleton, there's a tale of two sisters who loved the same man. One sister murdered the other, and as the murdered sister lay dying, she swore that her bones would never rest in any grave. According to S.O. Addy's 1895 Household Tales and Other Traditional Remains, her skeleton is kept in the old farmhouse, in a cheese vat, which stands in the staircase window. If her skeleton is removed from the house, strange noises are heard at night, and the farm's cattle become ill and die. Just a side note here, the location of this story is commonly given as Dunscar Farm, but has also been placed at Tunstead Farm in nearby Tunstead Milton. Tunstead Farm also has a screaming skull, which is said to have in life belonged to a soldier called Ned Dixon. Ned had been away at war and, upon returning to the farm, he found that his cousins had moved in. Rather than move out and let him claim his inheritance, they murdered him. After this, they were beset with bad fortune. Their crops failed, unearthly wailing noises were heard in the house at night, and spectres stalked the hallways. They consulted a local witch who advised them to dig up Ned's skull and keep it in the house. Once they had carried out this rather grisly act, everything went back to normal. According to local legends, on the two times that the skull, known locally as Dickie, has been reburied, the haunting has started up again, only halting when it was returned to the house. On one occasion, it was apparently thrown into the reservoir, where it caused all the fish to die. It was said that if the skull was ever removed, a strange wind would moan through the keyholes of the house, whispering, "Fetch poor Dickie back! Fetch poor Dickie back!" In more recent years, the owners of the farm seem to have cottoned on. The skull has been kept at Tunstead Farm, once known locally as Skull Farm, ever since. In 1807, John Hutchinson was told by a resident of the farm that Dickie is looked upon as more of a guardian spirit than a terror to the family, never disturbing them but in the case of an approaching death of a relation or neighbour, and showing its resentment only when spoke of with disrespect. When Andy Roberts and David Clark were collecting stories of screaming skulls in the 90s, they were found that Dickie was seen as being generally helpful, but that people wouldn't dare walk across Dickie's land after dark, and there was a strange black dog which used to follow people down from the main road and then vanish into the hill. The tradition was that this was Dickie's spirit seeing them off his land. Flag Hall stands about 15 miles away from the farm and has a screaming skull of its own. The Flag Hall skull dates back to at least the 18th century. Just like Dickie, it causes trouble whenever it leaves the hall. During their investigations, Roberts and Clark were told by local historian Patricia Salisbury that a relative of hers who used to own the hall once decided to give the skull a proper burial in the local churchyard. But when they tried to set off on the journey to the churchyard, the horse pulling the carriage refused to move no matter what they did. As soon as they gave up and took the skull back into the house, the horse calmly walked back to the stable. The skull was kept in the attic and all was well until the new servant arrived and moved into the attic bedroom. Understandably, she didn't like sharing her room with the skull and so threw it out of the window. It landed on a passing cart of manure, and as soon as it fell into the cart, the horse pulling it stopped sharp. It reared up and kicked around and upset the cart so much that some of its load, including the skull, fell off into the road. Once the skull was no longer on the cart, the horse walked on as if nothing had happened. After that, the skull was left outside for a while, but one way or another, it eventually ended up back inside the hall. This particular story about the servant throwing the skull onto a passing cart of manure is interesting because it's repeated, almost word for word, in relation to Burton Agnes Hall in Yorkshire, a good 100 miles away from Flag Hall. Three sisters were in the process of having the hall newly built, and they were all eager to see the construction work completed. Unfortunately, before the building was finished, the younger sister Anne was badly attacked in the street and took to her bed, before eventually succumbing to her injuries. Her biggest regret was that she wouldn't live to see her family's beautiful new home finished. Her longing to be in the new hall was so great that she begged her sisters to promise her something rather strange. But once she had passed over, they would have her head severed and keep it in the building so she could stay in the place that she loved so dearly. Of course, they agreed to their poor dying sister's wish. But once she had died, they didn't have the stomach for the grisly deed. I mean, who wants the severed head of their dead sibling hanging around the place, really? But you should never break a deathbed promise. As soon as Anne was buried, crashes and bangs started to be heard throughout the house, and her sisters got no rest. It was so bad that no servants would stay in the house for long. Eventually, remembering their vow, the sisters had the coffin opened. A strange sight greeted them. Anne's body was as fresh as the day she had been buried, completely untouched by decay. Her head, however, had separated from her body, becoming a smooth and fleshless skull. Rather considerate of her, don't you think? When Anne's skull was brought back to the hall, the haunting ceased and everything became calm. In times when it has been removed from the building temporarily, the inhabitants have been driven to distraction by eerie knocking sounds, which, of course, stop as soon as the skull is returned. Around here is where the story of the cart comes in. As with Flag Hall, a servant threw the skull from an upstairs window in a bid to get rid of it, and it landed on a cart of manure passing below. The horse stopped, of course, and refused to move, but in this version, rather than just kicking and making a fuss until the skull rolled off onto the road, the horse just wouldn't budge. Eventually, the servant had to come forward and own up. As soon as Anne's skull was retrieved and taken back inside, the horse started behaving perfectly and would pull the cart again. The skull at Burton Agnes Hall is certainly a lively one. In the early 1900s, legend held that the skull still breaks loose occasionally and goes spinning along down the lanes like a travelling humming top. Locals called it Old Nance. According to them, it plays bowls with itself and puts bottles up in a row and throws itself at them, chuckling and screaming all the time. In Long Melford in Suffolk, there's a story regarding a pair of skulls which could be found in the churchyard. After darkness fell, they would chatter away to each other, seemingly quite content with their lot. Not all skulls are as cheerful as Old Nance or as chatty as the pair at Long Melford. In Browsholme Hall in Lancashire, the resident skull there was for a time removed from the building as part of a prank. But while it was gone, so the story goes, several spontaneous fires broke out and some family members even died. Since its return, it hasn't been allowed to leave the hall. Similarly, at Bowland Hall in Yorkshire, whenever their skull is taken off the premises, there's said to be a sharp increase in the rate of deaths in the family. Skulls can also affect construction work. A story from Cheshire, collected in the 1890s by local historian Fletcher Moss, tells of an incident which occurred when the railway to Buxton was being built. As a joke, some of the workers stole an old skull which was kept at a farmhouse in Coombs Moss. After this, much of the track they'd already laid was buried by landslips. Men became suddenly and inexplicably ill, and the worksite was haunted by unearthly noises. The workers finally confessed what they had done to their boss, who told them to return the skull and, in a gesture of apology, offered the ghost a free permanent pass to ride the railway line. This seemed to work as their bad luck cleared up straight away. The resident skull of Tunstead Farm, our old pal Dicky, is also credited with disrupting nearby railway works. In 1862, the North Western Railway Company planned to build a railway bridge across some land belonging to Tunstead Farm. Dicky didn't take too kindly to this, and is credited with causing the foundations of the bridge to sink into marshy land. The new route, running somewhat less close to the farm, passes over a bridge which is still known as Dicky's Bridge. It's safe to say that there's a strong theme of skulls not wanting their chosen resting place to be disrupted. But some skulls are even more stubborn. No matter how many times they are taken off the property, they always seem to find their way back. At the appropriately named Skull House in Appleby Bridge, there's a skull which is said to have once belonged to a monk who was murdered. At various points throughout the years, residents of the house have tried to get rid of the skull. One threw it in the river which runs close by, but the skull reappeared in the house shortly afterwards. And as for the man who threw it in, he fell into the river and drowned. Another man took it far away from the house and left it there. Before long, the skull had somehow returned to its place on the mantelpiece, and the man fell down the stairs, injuring himself badly. This pattern has continued throughout the years, so the story goes, with the skull returning over and over again, and the person who tried to rid themselves of it experiencing bad fortune or even dying. The current residents of the house have taken heed of this, and never tried to move the skull. Apparently, recent tests have revealed the skull to be that of a woman rather than a murdered monk. At Calgath Hill in Windermere, there's a similar story of skulls magically returning. It's said that a rich local magistrate wanted to buy an area of land to add to his estate, but the couple who owned the farm refused to sell it to him. Under the pretense of friendship, he invited them to a Christmas banquet at the hall, but before they left, he hid a silver cup in amongst their belongings. The next day, soldiers turned up demanding to search the farm. The cup, planted on the farmers, was discovered, and the couple were arrested and sentenced to be hanged. Of course, on their deaths, the land would be obtained by the magistrate. In the courtroom, the woman cursed him, saying, "Guard thyself, Miles Philipson. Thou thinkest thou have managed grandly, but that tiny lump of land is the dearest of Philipson has ever bought or stolen. For you will never prosper, neither your breed. Whatever scheme you undertake will wither in your hand. The side you take will always lose. The time will come when no Philipson will own an inch of land, and while Calgath walls still stand, will haunt it night and day. Never will you be rid of us." Shortly afterwards, a pair of skulls appeared in the hall, and every night, screams would echo down the corridors. No matter how the magistrate and his family tried to get rid of them, the skulls would always show up again. They were buried far away from the house, they were burned, they were crushed to dust, they were thrown in the lake. But somehow, they always returned to their spot at the top of the stairs. Eventually, the guilty man became ill and died. After his death, there were no more screams in the night. There are so many stories about restless skulls recorded throughout England that it would be foolish to try and include them all in this one episode. However, I hope that you've enjoyed hearing a select few, and that your interest in this particular, peculiar area of folklore has been stoked. For more information, check out the sources and further reading section, which can be found in the Oddity show notes on Audioboom. Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you have any topics you'd like to hear discussed in future episodes, you can get in touch at odditypodcast on Twitter, or if you prefer email, odditypod@gmail.com. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time, for another journey into the strange and unexplained.